Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A Pew Research Center study released last month found the share of two-parent households in America in which mothers stay at home has dropped to just 1 in 4, down from nearly half in 1970. Families with two working parents are better off economically, but trying to juggle life and work is stressful, especially for mothers whose surveys show still bear the burden of childcare. Joining us now to talk about this is Beth Cabrera, author of Beyond Happy, Women, Work, and Well-Being. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you mentioned some statistics early on in your book. The American Psychological Association says 28% of women experience a great deal of stress compared to 20% of men. And you cite a 2014 survey which found that 4 out of 5 working mothers are very stressed out to get everything done. I mean, we're talking about 80% there. So we know it's bad, but what is the solution?
Okay, the solution, I would say, is number one, the workplace has to change. Work isn't working for anyone, men or women. So my book, on one hand, was just to add my voice to the call for more flexible workplaces, for giving more control over employees as to when, where, and how to work. But second to that is the fact that women are really suffering more than men because in addition to the demanding workplace and the lack of support, most women still are responsible for the majority of the housework and caregiving. So they really do need help. So what I decided is I think the workplace is changing, but in all the research I was doing with women, working women, a lot of women are struggling to find balance and they're trying so hard to balance things. And the problem with that is balance is impossible. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we will never achieve balance. There's always going to be work interfering with life and life interfering with work. So I believe well-being is a much better goal. If you focus on your well-being instead, that gives you psychological resources that help you manage everything better. And the great thing is well-being is a skill. Mm-hmm. It's something that you can learn and you can practice and you can get better at. So my book really offers strategies that working women especially, but anyone can use to increase their well-being.
So let's define well-being. It's in the title of your book. What do you mean by it?
There are a lot of factors that determine our well-being, right? But I've kind of put them into a simple 2x2 model, and there are two important factors. And one is feeling good, and that's experiencing frequent positive emotions throughout the day. It's, you know, when we say we're happy, right? But there's another equally important dimension, and that's doing good. And doing good is the sense that your life has meaning, that you're making a positive impact, that what you're doing every day matters to somebody. So those are both important dimensions in our well-being.
All right. Well, you talk about job stress in the book. You talk about home stress, taking care of the actual physical household. You talk about family stress. Let's start out with the workplace. You write that the workplace has not kept up with the evolving role of women there. So women's roles have changed, but the workplace hasn't. What do you mean?
Yes, the workplace is still based on the Industrial Revolution model of the male breadwinner and the female caregiver at home. And so the worker, the ideal worker, is expected to be able to give everything to the job. And they could do that at that time because there was someone at home taking care of everything else.
But there are companies that are changing. Give us some examples of those companies. And what are they doing? Is it as simple as having on-site daycare?
That helps, but that's not enough. You know, it really is about having flexibility and so giving people more control. And what I really think it comes down to, the companies that are really doing it the best understand that it's about energy management. It's about helping your employees be their best. And if you want optimal performance, you have to understand that people need time to recharge. They need to be able to disconnect. They can't be expected to answer emails at 11 o'clock at night and then come in refreshed the next morning to work. Mm-hmm. So companies that really understand that taking care of employee well-being is the best thing they can do for the bottom line, because when people have high well-being, they're more creative, they're more collaborative, they have better customer satisfaction. I mean, the list goes on and on of the positive benefits of people who come to work at their best every day.
When they're fresh. Mm-hmm. Well, you write about how worrying about things, our own anxiety, doesn't help anything. You quote a Chicago Tribune columnist who wrote that worrying is as effective as trying to solve algebra by chewing gum. But it takes me back to, you know, that old self-help book of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. How is your advice different from that?
For me, of all the things that I learned in my research, the mindfulness piece has helped me more personally in my own life, because I tend to worry, and that just brings negative emotions to what's usually a pleasant present moment. So if you're able to focus on what's going right here, right now, that ends up increasing your positive emotions, because you're not going to the past or the future and having this wandering mind. And there's a great Harvard study just recently showed that 47% of the time our minds are wandering. Hmm. And they also found that when your mind is wandering, you're less happy.
Hmm.
So if we could all just be aware of when our thoughts start straying and bring them back to whatever we're doing at the moment, we would all be happier.
Well, so focusing on work when you're doing it, focusing on your home life or your family when you're doing that.
Exactly, yes.
All right. Well, you pitch your book as being about women and work-life balance, but I wonder if it's not really about families making tough decisions together. For example, my husband became a primary caregiver because I had the job with health insurance and we had a sick child. I know families who've foregone a second salary and live more modestly so that one of them could stay home with the kids. Isn't this really about making choices? Can we really have it all?
We cannot have it all. Absolutely not. Yes, it's about making choices. It goes back to that, would go back to the values and what is most important to you and to your family, and making intentional choices based on that. So that's a big part of it, yes. But it's also about whatever choices you make, you can increase your own well-being. So you have the skills, whatever you decide to do as a family, to be happier with that and to find a sense of meaning in whatever arrangement you decide as a family is the best at that moment for your family, because that also changes. That's exactly why I say don't try to find balance, because things happen, right? And it's not always easy. And we always are going to have moments of crisis. And people who are thriving, who take care of their well-being on a daily basis and have higher well-being to begin with, they're more resilient. So they have much better coping skills and they bounce back quicker when those difficult things happen. So my whole book is about the acceptance that you're not going to find balance and you're going to have bad days. But people who take better care of their own well-being on a daily basis will be much better able to confront the demands of a challenging time than people who haven't taken care of their well-being.
Who have no reserves to draw upon.
Exactly.
All right. That's Beth Cabrera. She's a senior scholar at George Mason University Center for the Advancement of Well-Being, and she's the author of the book Beyond Happy, Women, Work, and Well-Being. Beth, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.